That's why don't you just explain a couple of the Gemaras that we learned yesterday. We learned about Hizkiah, that he could have been Mashiach. He wasn't. The Gemara says the reason why he wasn't was because he didn't say Shira. We explained that a little bit. And the Gemara says that the Aritz, beseeched the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was Meskanim. The Aritz says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'll say Shira and make him Mashiach. And it wasn't enough. Hizkiah had to say it. It wasn't enough. So we spent, we explained what Tzacharev was, we spent some time on Tzacharev, we explained the Hizkiah, his Avodah, the Derech Avodah Hizkiah was that he always worked, he put invested amelis in anything that he got. We said that Hatzalah, which comes completely from Shemayim, was something that he couldn't be a part of. We spoke about it. The Chizkiah didn't. The bottom line is the Chizkiah did not reach the proper Madrega to say the Shira. We explained what Shira was. It's the Neshama coming back home. We talked about the difference between Shira and Shira. Chizkiah did not reach the proper spiritual Madrega to say the Shira. Okay. What does it mean that the Aretz would have said Shira? Let's go back to Shesh Shemei Bereishis. Everything goes back to Shesh Shemei Bereishis. Everything always goes back to Shesh Shemei Bereishis. Adam HaRishon was created Erev Shabbos, after Chatzos. He was given one mitzvah. Don't eat from the tree. He ate from the tree. What would have been? What would have been if he didn't eat from the tree? One mitzvah. Forever, you know? He'd live for... Right.
I thought that was after he would be able to eat it after a while.
Yes, that's true. If he would have made it till Shabbos, about 6 hours, less than 6 hours, he would have made it, would have held back for 6 hours.
Was it 6 hours? Hour
so then Shabbos would be Olam Haba. Shabbos would automatically be Olam Haba. Our Shabbos is main Olam Haba. But his Shabbos would have been Olam Haba. He would have eaten from the Eitz HaChaim and then from the Eitz HaDas. Okay. So that means that the Adam HaRishon was given Bechira, the purpose of his Bechira, the duration of his Bechira was less than 6 hours. That's what it was meant for. Yeah.
Is it 6 hours?
Yes, why not? There was a sun, there was a moon, there were stars, it was the same system.
What do you mean if he had his Bechira?
His Bechira was meant to land. Once a person's in Olam Haba, there's no Bechira.
What is that?
You receive reward for exercising the proper
choices. So this would be two people in the car. But how?
Well, they had children right away.
Yeah, but that doesn't make, it still takes a while.
No, they had children right away, immediate children. Kain and Hevel were born immediately. No lengthy pregnancy, no birth pangs.
So like in an hour?
It doesn't say exactly how long, it was immediately. According to some accounts, they were born even before they ate from the Eitz HaDas. According to others, it was afterwards. But they were born right away.
Rabbi, had they not eaten from it, had they been born before Adam ate from it, how would they have gotten their...
Had they been... If they were born before Adam ate from it, then what?
How would they have gotten their... whatever it was. Whatever they got from eating from it. Whatever they got from eating from it.
Adam HaRishon... Adam HaRishon's neshama... Father's neshama does not exist in a vacuum. It's attached to all creation. But they go down. Everyone goes down. Right? When they go down, everyone goes down. If you have 1,000 people connected by underwater, we're all underwater, and they're connected by a hose, and there's oxygen going through the hose, and each one has a place where they put their mouth on the hose and they breathe it in. And the guy at the top, you know, the first guy in the line, starts breathing carbon dioxide into the hose.
Yeah.
Then they're all gonna die. Kali Shalom, Raven Zelazah. All Jews are guarantors for one another. Their Bechira is meant to last for less than 6 hours, and then they lose it. Which for 6 hours, Adam Rishon has to choose not to do it. By choosing not to, yes, he knew. By choosing not to do it, by choosing not to do it, if he would have kept it up.
He knew that he was only had to do it for 6 hours?
Yes.
So I mean, just,
we also know it. We have to keep our Bechira until the year 6000. We also know it. The days of this world are fixed. We also know it.
But 6 hours?
Less than 6 hours.
Less than 6 hours?
And he didn't do it.
How?
What?
Why? He knew for 6 hours, though.
Because he thought it was the right thing to do.
Okay, I guess so.
Adam Arishan didn't deliberately do a chet. He thought it was the right thing to do. He was wrong. Bechira was meant, so when Hashem gave him Bechira, Hashem says, I'm giving you Bechira for 6 hours. You eat from the tree, it's all over, you're going to die. You don't eat from the tree, so then you'll know that's going to be the last decision you're ever going to have to make. And then you're going to live forever, you're going to receive reward. So that means Bechira was never meant to mean to be as long-lasting as it turns it is.
I mean, how would we have received reward? We would have never existed.
That's not true. I mean,
Adam
Arishon was Adam Arishon was meant to have children, even if he wouldn't have eaten from the Eitz
Hadas.
Yes. Wow. It just would have been a totally different existence than what we have now. It would have been an existence without Bechira.
Okay.
After a person dies, he doesn't have Bechira.
But he exists.
Of course. As soon as a person dies, there's no Bechira. Like, you wonder, like, wow, what's an existence? What's an existence without Bechira? Everybody loses their Bechira. And you don't get it back. That's why it's important to do tshuva before death. There's no tshuva after death. When there actually is tshuva after death, but you don't get credit for it because it's not Bechira. There is tshuva after death, but you don't get the credit for it. There's no Bechira. So Bechira is meant to be very temporary. So what's the avodah of a person? The avodah of the person is to recognize, to acknowledge that Bechira is only temporary. The avodah of the person is to acknowledge that Hashem is giving us Bechira, and we're supposed to choose to give it back. No, Hashem, I'm not going to choose. I don't have a choice. I'm giving it back. And Adam Arishon chose the other way. He chose to make the whole world, to give the whole world the image of Bechira. And that's why he did it. He thought that's what Hashem wanted. He was wrong. So the whole notion of Bechira is a foreign notion. It's supposed to be temporary. It's not supposed to be long-lasting. It's not supposed to be a permanent fixture. Now that we have Bechira, we've had it for thousands of years, what are we supposed to do about it? We're supposed to work on ourselves. What's our goal? Amunah, B'takun. You've heard this. Amunah is, like Parnassa, for example. It doesn't matter, I mean, Hashem wants me to make a shtadlis. He wants me to make a shtadlis. To get a job. Support my family. But what I earn has nothing to do with the effort I put in. I do my ishtadlis and Hashem gives me what he wants to give me. So I'm not doing the ishtadlis because that's what earns me the money. I'm doing Nishtamas because that's Ratzon Hashem. And there's no connection whatsoever between the Nishtamas and what I get. That's a very high level of Bataka. And the Mela, and when a guy comes upon rough times, says, oh, if I would have done this, I would have done that, I missed this business, that. That's baloney. You do what you, you do what you gotta do. You follow the Mahalach in life. Thank you. That's all I need to know. So we can stay here a while longer. We can stick around.
What's going on?
I have a flight to catch.
Where?
It's picking someone up.
You're not leaving.
Not because Rabbi Werfel just told me that I don't have to leave.
Okay. No, you're not flying anywhere.
No. Okay. No, I'm not flying.
You scared me.
I'm not flying. I mean, I'm flying, but I'm not flying. Fly.
Like an eagle.
Like a seagull.
I didn't think of that.
It's because you have too much dark habits to do that.
That's why.
Well, I'll take Chizki. We're going to go back to Chizki. I mean, this is like, this is a subject which, if it would be a Hashkafish here, we could go and go and go, but this is a Gemara here, so. Chizki was surrounded by the enemy. There was no hope. He went to sleep. The night before, he went to sleep. Now, how do you do that?
What else did he do?
He tired himself out learning the entire day. We explained why that's important, because his Malchus had to be the Malchus of Torah. The Klai Yisrael not just learned Torah, but they're totally encompassed by a monarchy of Torah. That's their Malchus, that's their government, that's their authority.
So he did everything he could, which is all he has to do.
And then he went to sleep. When he woke up in the morning, everyone was dead. So obviously, this was a display of bitachon. He doesn't have to do anything. Why didn't he stay up the whole night putting sandbags next to the battlements?
He should have been learning.
Because he learned it. He learned. He was too tired. That's it. I'm tired.
So then he's out.
He's out. But why not? He was finished. Hashem is going to do it now. That's Bataka. That is Bataka. He got up in the morning, he didn't say Shiva. We're going to go a little deeper than we did before. It seems like so natural that he arrived at such a Madrega Bataka. What Madrega? In simple terms? That even if he does nothing, Hashem is going to. Even if he chooses to do nothing, understand? People that they're in the world of choice, in the world of bechira, so then we fool ourselves. We're in this world. I'm talking about us, right? We fool ourselves that everything is dependent on our choice, and I have to choose. And if I choose this way, it's going to go this way. If I choose that way, it's going to go that way. People that have been talking, choices are not so important to them. It doesn't make a difference what I choose. What I choose is not going to determine the outcome. You know why? You know why? What's important? That what I choose should be what Hashem wants me to choose. So, there's two different perspectives on Bechira. There's one perspective on Bechira that I choose, and I determine, and it's my choice, and I'm the one that's going to influence the events from my choices, and I have to factor that in. And that's the world we're in. And then there's the true perspective, that the events come, irrespective of what I choose or not, and my actions are only valuable if they reflect Ratzon Hashem. The outcome is not connected with my actions. Ratzon Hashem. It's two different things. You know, my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro, he once had a tremendous Kiddush with this Nakuda. I'm telling you, it was such a Kiddush to me at the time. I think you're going to really get something from it. Once upon a time, in the state of Israel, there was no such thing as a religious... I shouldn't say. There's no such thing as a religious, as a party that was led by Torah giants. It was led by the mainstream Torah giants that was part of the Israeli government. In Israel, you could be a Knesset minister and be a part of the government, be a part of the ruling coalition, or you could choose to be outside the government. It's called being in the opposition. That means you're not partners with the government, but you still represent your constituency. You know, the Israeli parliamentary system, which is based on a mixture of Turkish and British laws, recognizes that a constituency deserves to be represented even if they're not part of the ruling coalition. And for many years, that was the position of Agudas Yisrael, that they cannot be a part of the coalition because they can't be partners with these people. They can't. And then... It was primarily during the times of the Prime Minister, Menachem Begin. Menachem Begin was, at least publicly, he was Shomer Shabbos. At the end of his life, he definitely was a Shomer Shabbos.
He was?
He had very religious values. He grew up religious. He was born in Brisk. He had good relationships. It wasn't like an adversarial relationship. It wasn't antagonistic. With religious people, he had religious values. So then... There was a change. There was a change. There was a decision to actually join the government. There were a lot of benefits because of it. A lot of them financial. And that was the start of the government funding of religious institutions. And that's being eroded now. The past 8 years, they've been chipping away at this, at the achievements. And they joined the government. But in Israeli politics, because it's a parliamentary system, you're never casting a vote for an individual. It's for a party. For example, there's the Labour Party, which is at one time was the only major party in Israel. It was like overwhelming. So then the Labour Party, within their own ranks, they vote to pick a candidate for Prime Minister. And the constituency of the Labour Party has no direct impact on who they're going to pick to run. It's the members of the Labour Party. They have a list of people who belong to them. They're members of the Labour Party. It's like a primary, and they pick him, and then you vote for the Labour Party. You vote for the Labour Party. The Labour Party gets enough votes. I think you get like 61 Knesset members, representatives. Then automatically, you know, the one that they chose to be the Prime Minister is the Prime Minister. There's no direct election to Prime Minister. That this law has gone back and forth. They changed it. They had direct election of the Prime Minister. You're back and forth. Now the religious parties, they could also run a candidate of their own for Prime Minister. It's just they don't, because he's not going to get elected. Religious parties are not going to get 61 Knesset ministers. So there's really no point. So generally they don't even bother. So they try and get as many seats as possible and they get the best deal with the ruling coalition. That's the way it's going. But then when they had this direct rule, they changed the law that you could vote twice. You could vote for the party. You could cast a vote for the Likud party, for example. And then you could cast a vote for the Prime Minister elect of the Labour Party. For religious Jews, this had significance, because you could cast your vote for the religious party. And the religious parties are, you know, either Aguda, Dagel, Shas, Mardal, religious party. And then you could cast a vote for the Prime Minister elect representative of the Likud. What's the advantage? Because it doesn't pay to vote for the Prime Minister representative of Mavdal or Likud or Shas. I mean, Mavdal or Agud or Shas, or, you know, because it's not going to get elected anyway. But you don't want to, you know, vote. So you split your vote. So the Shaila is, we're firm people who follow the guidance of Gedalim, were they being encouraged to vote for the Prime Minister of a non-religious party? You cast your vote for the religious party, and then for the Prime Minister to vote for a person who's not from, you know, because you know, if he's convinced that the religious votes carried the election for him, so then he's going to feel indebted to them, and then there's benefits, you know. But if they don't vote for him, so then there's no debts. You know, that's all it is in politics. There's no friends in politics. Is that, you know, so it was a shaman. There were chalukah days. Okay?
There were what?
There were chalukah days. There were differences of opinion, actually, whether Jewish people should be, from people, people that follow Gedolei Lucheret, should be encouraged to vote directly for the prime minister. And my Rebbe was just completely different Torah. My Rebbe's not a politician. He never weighs into politics. He never speaks publicly. I'll never get a statement from him on it. But, you know, he used this as an example to make this point. He said, Klal Yisrael, the leadership of Klal Yisrael, look, Eretz Yisrael is, most of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. I would say 50%. A chelek chashuv of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. The one who occupies the position of power that makes decisions affecting Klal Yisrael is not something that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives over to Bechira. Bechira is a free choice. A person has free choice to make his own personal choices. But the leadership of a Klal Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael should be led one way or another, is not something that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives to Bechira. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Kadosh Baruch Hu runs Klal Yisrael. And it's a pasuk, and the Rambam pasuk is like this pasuk, Lev Malachim B'yad Hashem, that the heart of rulers is in the hand of Hashem. The heart means Bechira. The heart of rulers, meaning anyone that has sovereignty, is in the hands of Hashem. Before he becomes a ruler, he has Bechira. Once he becomes a ruler, no Bechira. We see this with Pharaoh. We see this with Achashverosh. See it. Time and time again. Achashverosh, he's the biggest son of Israel. He becomes a king, all of a sudden, whatever Esther wants, you want to kill people out, fine, you want another day, kill them out. You know. He was one of the implementers of the plan against the Jews. Become a Malach, Lev Malach, and Yad Hashem. Pyrrhi, let him go, you Meshuggah? Yes, he's Meshuggah. Lev Malach, and Hashem. Hashem does not give over the runners of the world to Bechir. It's not up to free choice. Individuals have free choices. Which means if you have a mood, you have a talking.
You don't need to vote.
So vote. He said, yeah, it doesn't make a difference whether you vote or not. Right? Correct? He said, but what? It's shtadlus. If you have real amud of betaka, you don't need to go out and get a job. Hashem will send you man. But the Gemara tells us, you learn the Gemara in the sixth parak, you got to do a shtadlus. So Hashem wants us to do a shtadlus. But there's no connection between what we put in and what Hashem, you know. It would make just as much sense, I'm saying, it would make just as much sense. You had to go to work and work hard and get a salary. If one day Hashem sent a Navi to you, and you knew it was a Navi, it's for Hashem, and the Navi says, instead of going to work today, we still want you to do Ishtadlis. Hashem wants you to do Ishtadlis.
What can you do?
And today I want you, instead of doing Ishtadlis, I want you to do volunteer work. I want you to open up a soup kitchen, I want you to feed the needy, visit people in nursing homes, do you have a Tulang Gemach? And then that should be your establish. You do it, and then a check comes in the mail, you win the lottery. That makes just as much sense. I mean, at the very core of our emunah, it makes just as much sense. We go to work because Hashem wants us to.
How do you know which one to do?
What's after the ganacha? The Torah tells us. The Torah tells us. That's the Bishma Shita. Habi also care of Shem by Chayu Le'el B'yada. That's a shita. We know, but the main core of our emunah is that the connection between ishtadlus, that means our endeavors, and what the return is non-existent.
You just still have to do as much as you can
because Hashem told you to. See that? So we're not doing it because the means bring about the ends. We're doing it because Hashem. So he said that if that's true. He said that's certainly true. That's true by Parnassa. He said that's certainly true about choosing a leader over Eretz Yisrael. He said it's Kal V'chaymer. It's Kal V'chaymer. Because even by Parnassa, there is like, Bechira does seem to influence a lot. You know, it might not be a connection, but certainly looks like there's one. He said, but the leadership of Eretz Yisrael, you know, beyond your wildest dreams, you can't imagine there's a connection. Once a guy becomes a leader, he's a totally different person. We see this time and time again. Hey, look at this. You have, using politics as an example, you have a real Sharon. He's the founder of the settlement movement. he's the one that sent all these people out, you know. In him, he was a general in battle. He was courageous. He captured all these places. You see, he was like the flagship of the settlement movement that everyone should move out to. Meet the Gush Katif here. He becomes prime minister, and he's the one that dismantles it. You can understand that. You can understand that, B'derech HaTeva. Yeah. Maybe something like with the leadership of a Klal Yisrael, Bechiri plays even less of a role than Parnassa. And Parnassa definitely looks like it. You see time and time again that once someone's elected, once someone assumes power, they're a totally different person. So it's a mail when you vote. What are you doing?
Showing that you don't trust.
Anashim Gedalim have told us that that's a status. They did. They told us, not all Anashim Gedalim, but, you know, the Anashim Gedalim that the yeshivas follow. The Biskarov said not to. But the Anashim Gedalim that the Bnei Yeshiva follow say it's a mitzvah to vote. Now why are you voting?
The Biskarov said not to, so that's why Rav Moshe.
No. I don't know whether he votes or not. It's really irrelevant, isn't it? The point is that Vaitaira Shabbat, I really don't know. Don't be distracted by the example. We're trying to explore a point of Amunah here to understand the Gemara. I'm using the example because it's really, really relevant. It's really Nagelimash. So you're voting because the Ritzon Hashem is to vote because Hashem wants us to do our Ishtabas. But who gets elected? Well, what that person is going to do if they get elected? That has nothing to do with what we vote. Okay? Something like this. Voting for a Russia. Voting for a Russian called Shabbos. His personal life, his own personal views stand against everything the Torah represents. But he makes accommodations. He's closer to Frumkeit than others because he's willing at least to make accommodations. Maybe more traditional. But you're voting for him. What justification is there for you to show your support for such a person?
None.
Well, there is. Because we need that. Because we live in a world that we need them. They're an authority. And we need them. We need the goodwill. We need the benevolence. Tolerance. Goodwill. Benevolence. We need them. And if we vote for him, so he's going to get elected because we did. Because our vote gets him elected. And that he's going to relate to us as his constituency because we were his supporters, and that's going to bring about a betterment of our situation. So even though there's something improper about showing your support for someone that stands against the values of the Torah, but you're building Torah with it. But that only makes sense if there's a direct link between your vote and his election and what his policies are going to be. But if there's no link,
and we know there's no link,
and there isn't any. And so why are you voting? Not because you're going to get him elected, not because he's going to do ABC once he does get elected. You're voting because that's your status. So how could you do it if it's an improper thing to do? So it comes out that if somebody's voting with the cheshbon that my vote means something, and it's actually going to influence the outcome, so that's a chesaron in betachin, in understanding what bechira is all about.
Why vote?
Because it's on Hashem. For the same reason why you get up in the morning and you go to work. Why do that? It's when Hashem gives it to you anyway. It's Ritzon Hashem. It's a very deep word. Why does Hashem want that? Because Hashem wants the world to run in a way that's hidden. And that's our challenge. So if we do a shtadlis, and then Hashem responds, so it looks like we're responsible for it, then Hashem is hidden in the world. Hashem wants to remain hidden in the world.
So you're supposed to vote knowing that it's not going to happen.
So he said voting for the party is he made that killer between voting for the party or voting for a person? Voting for the party, voting for the religious party. That's not a maisa, which is wrong. You're voting for a non-religious party. Well, voting for a person who's the head of a non-religious party is improper, and you're going to justify it because the ends justify the means. That's only if there's a link between the ends and the means, and there isn't.
What's the pasuk again?
Leiv Malach B'Yad Hashem?
Where is that?
I don't know. Leiv Malach B'Yad Hashem?
No, sorry.
I think it's in Kohelis. But I
Leiv Malachim
B'Yad Hashem. What? So this is, so Chizkiah, getting back to Chizkiah. So Hashem's going to save. Hashem's going to, So he was on this Madrega. Now we described, but yes.
Why would it?
So why, so we describe what Shira is. Shira is that point that the Neshama comes. Hashem created a world. At the point of creation, it was very clear. Hashem creates it. Everything runs in the world exactly the way he wants it. Doesn't make a difference what you do or not. Hashem is going to get what he wants in the end. And then we went away from that. Adam chose to do something Hashem didn't want. Adam said, Hashem, you gave me free choice. It must be you want me to exercise it. And it must be, Hashem, that you want us to live in a world that we don't see it is so clear. And it must be, Hashem, you want us to live in a world that it looks like that we fool ourselves and we think that does make a difference what we choose, and we are masters of our destiny, and we do have an impact, and you want the world to look exactly the way it looks today. So Adam chose to create the world we live in today. So what's our job now? Okay, we weren't there at the time. Adam made our choices for us. So what's our job now? To live in a world where it looks like there is a link between the Shtadlis and the, I just want to make one parenthetical statement. We do have Bechira and there is Schaiva Onish. We have control of what we choose. The results are not under our control. It has the appearances being under our control. But our Bechira is under control. Don't think that I'm saying there's no Bechira, okay? Say it? Right.
The results of our Bechira.
The results of our Bechira have the appearances being caused by directly caused by our Bechira, but they're not. But the Bechira itself is in our control. It is. Saying. Having said that, if we choose to shoot someone, we shoot him, we're going to get punished. Because we did the act of shooting. We chose to do that. Having said that, that means that our purpose in life is to bring ourselves to the Madrega. That we're aware that we're so connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu that it's not in our power not to do what he doesn't want us to do. We're him. We're an extension of God's will. That's called coming back to your source. It's called coming back to your source. And then the neshama goes to a level that says Shira. So then Chizkiyo seemed to have gotten to this Madrega. Going to sleep at night, he got to that Madrega.
That's the main reward that you get.
So why didn't his soul sing out?
That's question one. Can I interrupt you for like 3.2 seconds? Just such a thing.
Go ahead.
Can I borrow a Splenda or have a Splenda?
You can have a Splenda.
Am I being recorded right now? That's
cool.
Yeah. Cool.
You are so cool.
My pleasure. Second point. I say he didn't do it. That means he didn't get to that Madrega. But the Aretz did. Or the Aretz was willing to do it. What does that mean? Aretz is an inanimate object. On some level, there's a consciousness to everything in the world. There's a difference between Adam and Aretz. But there's a consciousness to Aretz and there's a consciousness to Adam. The difference between man and inanimate objects is Bechira. But, man has free choice and Aretz does not. But there is a consciousness. And we said this before. The level of a layered could go up and down. Depending on what it's used for. Again, the Aretz doesn't make choices. But the Aretz is a tool. I'll give you an example. This is an example which is given by the Alto Tells of Rav, Yosef Leiblach. Rabbi Yisrael Block was the father of Rabbi Leo Meir Block. Rabbi Leo Meir Block was the founder of Talzin in Cleveland. Rabbi Yisrael Block was the Rishiva of Talzin, Lithuania. Avram Avinu bought the Moriz HaMachpelah from Ephraim. The Pasuk says when they finished the transaction, it says, Vayakam Asada Asher
Ephraim.
The field that was Ephraim's, Vayakam, it got up. The Medrash says, what does it mean that the field got up? It's Kuma Haisaloi. It went up, Shiyatzav Yad Hedyad Liad Mela. It left the domain of an ordinary person. Ephraim was an ordinary person. He's a hedyot. I mean, the sheriff's in the word hedyot is idiot. It has a common sheriff to an idiot. Idiot, hedyot. Ephraim was an idiot. And it went into Yad Melech. So Yosef Leib has a kasha. Question begs to be asked. He said, the field got up. How do fields get? The field's any different? It was owned by Ephraim, he's a hedyot. Now it's owned by Avram, he's a melech. The field's the same. No, it's not. Because everything was created in this world for a reason, and fields were created for a reason. And fields were created, this field was particularly created to be owned by a melech. It was created to be the place, the resting place of a melech. And if it's in the hands of Ephraim, it's not going to be that. So it's far from Hashem. And when it goes into Avram Avinu's possession, so then it gets up because it gets closer to Hashem, and it's a different field because now it's accomplished its tafkid. The kuda?
Yeah.
And Yisrael is the ikker tachlis abriya. And Yisrael has to have a certain tafkid. And Yisrael has to be a place where certain things take place. What was Eretz Yisrael like in the time of Chizkiyah? We learned the Gemara. No, that's chera b'beis hamedrash. Because of beis hamedrash, he took a sword and he inserted in the walls of the Beis HaMedrash. He says anyone that's not involved in Torah is going to be pierced with the sword. And they checked from Dan Vad Beshev and they didn't find a tinnik between Lakers. They weren't bucking the lochas of Ishra, Isha. Who? Tumas and Taurus, they had expertise in all the laws, the comprehensive laws of Tumas and Taurus, which are difficult for even the greatest Talmud Chachamim. And who are the ones that had this expertise? Children, babies, young children, and women. Do you know what that's telling us? That's telling us that there was a chibur, there was a connection between the deepest parts of Torah to the places where we're at least likely to find it. You know what Taurus is called? Das. There's a different fact. Taurus is called Das. What's someone under the age of Bar Mitzvah called? Not a Bar Das. So we shouldn't say that's why you can't include him in a Zeman. He's not a Bar Das. Not a Bar Das. In order to understand Taurus, you need to develop your keches that, you can't understand just with common chokma. Well, chokma is not so common anymore. Chokma, which is the straight-out wisdom, bina, which is what evolves from the chokma, you have to attain a level called das. And children that they have no shaykhs to that. They can't learn those things. Their mind is not developed. Even it's just and Donad Bashel, what does it mean? Why are we putting out geographical locations? Because Chizkiyah made sure that all of Eretz Yisrael was covered with das. Oh, and I understand the Chazal. Don Bad Besheva, Don Israel is all the way in the north, Besheva is all the way in the south. That's why the Gemara is telling you Donad Besheva. It's giving you its geography. Eretz Yisrael's purpose? What's Eretz Yisrael's purpose? Eretz Yisrael's purpose is for people to be on it. Eretz Yisrael doesn't do anything, right? It's a place for people to live. Is it tafkid for people to live, for Mormons to live there? Is it tafkid for non-Jewish Russian immigrants to live there? That's not the tafkid of Eretz Yisrael. The tafkid of Eretz Yisrael is to be a place that from one end to the other it's filled with people that they absorb Hashem's wisdom. Eretz Yisrael came back to Kadosh Baruch in the time of Chizkiyah. It went away. From the time of the original creation in Sheish Yemei Bereishis, it went away. It came back. It came back to Kadosh Baruch. It is the place it was meant to be. Hashem looks at Eretz Yisrael and says, this is what I had in mind. This is what Hashem had in mind when he created the world. And it was. That's what the Gemara means when it says that the land wanted to say Shira. Not that it has a Bechira. That is Shira. Shira is when something comes to the level that it was originally created for. That is Shira. That's a beautiful song. That's completed a circle. Hashem said no. Because the world was not created for inanimate objects to say Shira. They do say Shira. Malachim say Shira. They don't have Bechira. Malachim don't have Bechira. They say Shira. Frogs say Shira. They don't have Bechira. That's right. But the world wasn't created for that. You know, the Gemara says, Malachim say Shira. You know when they say Shira? They have to wait for people to say Shira. We say Kadosh Kadosh, they say Kadosh Kadosh. We say Baruch Shem, they say Baruch Shem. They can't say Shira until we say Shira. Gemara. Kulin. They can't. Because the world wasn't created for Malachim to say Shira. Hashem doesn't want that. Hashem wants people to say Shira because people have Bechira. Malachim don't have it and Lan doesn't have it. They say Shira, but they're not being Bechira to say it. The Malach, the land, that's what the Gemara means. It says the land wanted to say Shira instead of the Tzaddik because the Tzaddik was the one that brought the land to that Madriga. So the land said, I'm only saying Shira. I'm only at this Madriga because of him, so I'll say his Shira. So it's like the Tzaddik saying Shira because he made the land into a perfect land. So this is his Shira. This is Chizkiah's song. It's like he said it. Makes a little bit more sense now, right? What was missing? There's one little thing missing. I mean, this is something which just as a messiah from my Rebbe. I don't know. I don't understand half the things I'm saying. And the thing I'm going to say, I don't even understand that. But I'll tell you the words, and you know, the words fit perfectly. My Rebbe, he said this. Why didn't Chizkiah do something? Why did he do something?
Why what?
Why did he go to sleep? Why did he do something? He didn't do anything. He did nothing. And he didn't even say Shira. You see, he was totally passive. The Rebbe said like this, because we explained before, there's two types of people. There's people that they work on themselves their whole life in order to zeicha to a revelation from Shemayim. Tell you like the Beis Yosef, the Beis of Kara. And Shavuos night, he got a revelation from Shemayim through a Malach called the Magid, and he got Tari from a Malach. And we talk about the Vilna Gaon, when a Malach came to give him Tari, he said, no, I want to work for it. Different types of people, the different Sharish and Neshama. Chizkiah Malach was very much, his Sharish and Neshama was Tari Shabbat Vapeh. Amelus. That he does not want Torah, that he didn't, you know, toil in himself, and as a result of that toil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to him. He wants actually, you know, he doesn't want to fast and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem should reveal something to him. No, he wants to work on the sugya and get a revelation. Mikayach HaZamelis. The Rebbe said that for Chizkiah, for him to do anything for this Yeshua, this is such an edel of art, please be trying to understand it. If he would do anything, any hishtalos whatsoever, to bring about the salvation from the army, and I don't even know what he could have done, but if he would have done anything besides working at the sugya, besides that, which he did do, or if he would have said Shira, you know, to bring the, you know, he'll thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he'll bring the gula, so then Chizkiah would feel that the gula, that the salvation is coming because of his own efforts. Because that's the way his life is. You know. He works in Tyre, he toils in Tyre, because he doesn't want to get Tyre from a Malach without a Melus. He wants to get Tyre from his Amelus. So his Chizkiah is very much into working in Olam Hazeh, working down here, doing the Ritzon Hashem, right? And it should come as a product of his Amelus. For him to channel his energies into Geula, you know, instead of working in a sugya, to work in the Geula, and you can only use your imagination what he would have done. No, he would not have, whatever. So then he would have felt that it's a part of him.
That wouldn't be
and
good.
That's treif. That's treif.
That's why he didn't do it.
That he didn't do it because he couldn't.
He knew it was it.
He couldn't involve himself. And something that he would feel, I would, he take the credit for, feel it was coming out, emanating from him. The gula really? Has to come. Learn Taira, having an asugya.
So that's why you didn't do anything?
You couldn't. The gula has to come straight from Shemayim. The gula cannot, it won't come, you understand? He wouldn't
what
come.
Did he have to say Shira?
What?
Well, you said he had to say Shira.
I know, that would have brought the gula. Let me give you an example.
The time on him that he couldn't
come back. Let me give you an example.
He had to do something, but he couldn't do anything.
Now, Chizkiah was convinced that the best way to bring the gula is that he shouldn't do anything which it could remotely tie him to any personal involvement.
Then the Shira would have done it. Shira would have done that.
He was wrong. Chizkiah was wrong. I'm talking about what he thought.
Oh. The Shira wouldn't have tied him to it?
The Gemara says he was wrong. The Gemara says...
That means the Shira wouldn't have tied him to it.
This is the way my Rebbe explained it. I see that you understood everything we said until now. The Gemara says Chizkiah was... let me finish my sentence. Don't interrupt because you can't. You got to listen to everything in order to get it clear, and then we could discuss it.
Chaim, he just said wait. Just wait a minute.
Chizki is Madrega. He felt he was on the Madrega. That he would do something, then he would feel it's a part of him, and that would stop the Gula from coming. His mistake was that he would, you know, there's a higher Madrega than that. No matter what you do, we talked about this. It doesn't matter if you do this, you don't do that. It doesn't matter what your Bechira is. It isn't because of you. There's a higher Madrega. If he would have said Shira, he would have chosen, you know, to take that last step, to get involved in whatever you need to do in order for Hashem to redeem Klal Yisrael. Simultaneously, with doing that, he would have brought himself up to the level that he no longer would feel any personal involvement in. So that was where, that was the point. It's such a hard thing to say these things. He was holding at a point of contact between two levels of betachin. One level of betachin that even if you don't do anything, Hashem is going to save you. And he was on that level. He was definitely on that level. Even if I don't do anything, Hashem is going to save you. And then there's a higher level. There's no difference whatsoever if I do something or not. Anything I do or don't do is not going to influence anything. Do you hear the difference between the two levels? The first level is my decisions and my choices will impact the final outcome. Right? But even if I don't do anything, Hashem will do something anyway. Hashem will do something else, you know. So like you said, I could choose to take a moat around it, or a circle of fire, you know. But even if I don't do anything, so Hashem can cause hailstones to come down. Right? So if I do the moat, we're going to get saved with the moat. If I don't do the moat, Hashem will do hailstones. So my Bechira will influence the outcome. But even if I don't do something, Hashem will do it. And there's a higher Madrega. No matter what I do, whether I do something or don't do something, the exact outcome is going to come. That's a much higher Madrega. Chizkiah was at the point between those two. His Madrega was, his Bechira, there is, you know, will have some impact on him. And he felt he could not do something where he would feel and believe that he's having an impact on the outcome, because that would ruin the Gula from coming. What he didn't see was that if he would do that, that automatically would bring him up to the higher Madrega, and then he wouldn't feel that way. This is, Eretz Yisrael was at the Madrega that was mamish, exactly the way Hashem wanted it to be. It was the way it was in creation. Sancheirav was Geger Magog L'Mahadrin. There was no flaw in his rishus. Chizkiah was at the threshold, was at the point where he was going to go to that Madrega where he could say Shira. And he could get so close to it's a closeness to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He would say Shira, and his neshama singing on a Shira would bring him so close to Kadosh Baruch Hu that he couldn't possibly see how Bechira could impact anything. You get really close to Hashem, you realize that your Bechira has no impact whatsoever, and he didn't say it. So now we have to do it all over again, and that's why we're in a world where everything is Bechira. Yes, Chaim, dear one.
I mean, I realize that God does what he wants, what happens, but so therefore then the whole point of here then, isn't it?
I told you there's two things. There's who's the one that's choosing it, and that is, we do that. And then there's the outcome.
So no matter what destiny is, my choice will get to that destiny?
Because you're saying, like, if not doing something affects it, but doing something does affect it in a way that it, because it's not affecting it,
There's no direct correlation. It appears as if you're impacting it. Hashem wants it to look that way.
But it does, because it's like, I know it's not that I'm necessarily doing this and it's causing it, but it's like, it's not like I'm pressing the button and like the light goes on. It's I'm pressing the button and someone else sees that I pressed the button and the light turns on.
Right.
But that's not.
Let me ask you a question.
Hashem would dig the mode
anyway. Do you
believe,
Amunah Shleima, that you could hold a gun and shoot it at someone, and the bullet will come out,
and it'll
just stop in midair? Could Hashem do that?
Yes.
Now, what's the reason why it doesn't happen? It doesn't happen. What's the reason why it doesn't happen? Because Hashem doesn't want to stop it. So that means there's no correlation between the Bechira and the outcome, because it's only going because Hashem wants it to go.
I know, but it may not be that, but
it looks like it
is that way. It is that way in the way that
it's perceived. Yeah, that's true.
It's like,
therefore,
it may not be, but basically it is, as far as,
well, we live within that reality. I'm not telling anybody to go shoot people.
I know, I'm saying,
but I'm just trying to tell you, just peer behind the
thing. Yeah, but it still does affect,
and even someone that gets, you know, right, that means that the bullet only goes because Hashem decided not to stop it. That's all. Hashem is, not only that, Hashem is constantly a lot.
I know, but you, when you shoot it in the temple, you know that Hashem's not going to.
But do you have a problem in understanding that our decisions only have an effect because it's the will of Hashem that they should?
Yes, but I'm saying yes, but
the decisions wouldn't be made unless you made them at the same time.
But you're making the decision.
I'm saying I'm making the decision.
We're not robots. We're making the decision.
I know, I'm making the decision. Because they may not affect anything, but God is making them affect things. Therefore, making it that the decision is affecting something.
Right, but God's doing it, not us.
Yes, sir. I'm saying, yes.
He's doing that, not us. We're choosing. But the effects of our choices, God does.
I understand. It's like,
that's all. God, the effects of our choices.
But it's basically because
if God doesn't want relations to lead to a pregnancy, does it lead to a pregnancy?
No.
Does a person have a kayak? This is a good example. Does a person have a kayak to have a child? Is that a name?
Only if
Hashem. Does a person have a kayak of Bechira? Is it a person's choice to have a child?
What?
Is it within the realm of a person's choice to have a child? Even answer the question.
What do you mean by the question?
Could a person choose to have a child?
To have relations or to have the
What's
child?
What's he given the ability within the system that God created that allows that what God wants?
It's not.
Works?
God puts a child. He cannot have a child. A person does not have a bechira to have a child.
But he can.
He cannot choose to have a child.
Technically, he can.
He can choose to have relations.
Yes, exactly. And because he is choosing to do that, that in effect,
it does not lead to a child.
But it's, I
but without that, there would be no child.
I realize the beginning doesn't have anything to do with the end, but I'm saying, in like the way it all works out, is it does have an effect on the end.
It's not a direct effect. It just looks like direct.
I realize what I'm saying.
So there's no problem. Then there's no problem. I mean, I'm not. If you realize that, there's no problem. I think that, you know, I think that it should be clear.
But it's like, saying,
there's nothing that you're saying. If you're not objecting to anything that we've said, then what's
It works like that, but it doesn't.
Yes, it does. There's certain things that are beyond.
It's like saying,
there are certain things that are obvious
and
beyond
our
ability to control.
It will be affected. It's like when I turn on the light. If I'm not, I may be only flicking the light switch. It may not be connected at all. But there might be someone. No matter as long as he may not want to, but it's he's going. But God will turn on the light. The guy will turn on the light.
Well, God creates the light. It's one of the two.
I know. I'm saying everything about it. I'm saying, but basically, it equates to the same.